Hello and welcome to Watch What Crap Ends, a podcast about all that crap on Bravo that we just love to watch. I'm Ben Mandelker, and joining me today is the floral and beautifully collared Ronnie Karam. Hi, Ronnie. How's it going?
Yeah, I'm wearing a very subtle shirt today. Hi, how are you?
It looks lovely. My question to you is, how loud were your neighbors last night when the Knicks came back from behind and won game four of the finals last night?
Oh, they did?
Yeah, well, it was crazy.
I mean, that's, I guess, great for all of you who celebrate. Good for you. I don't know
Risk about Hargate.
Because I took an Ambien.
Oh, so you didn't hear that? Wow. I thought, like, for sure, because last time you were like, the neighbors were so loud every time there was a score, you hear everything. So I was like, oh, well, Ronnie must have been like, it must have been just chaotic for you in the city.
I was out. I was in bed at 10 p.m. I did four shows yesterday.
Yeah. Yeah, it was a lot. And you did a long one, too, which is crazy.
That's Andy's Girls with Sarah Gailey. Lovely, lovely woman. Funny, compassionate, funny. I love the people who can mix, like, compassion with humor. Like, you're really good at that. I'm not really good at that. I'm just evil.
I don't know if I have that much compassion. I don't have compassion today. I'll tell you that much. I woke up today. I'm like, I'm done. Really? My compassion is done. You would think I'd be like, oh my God, the Knicks won last night. I'd be full of joy. But somehow, I think it's because I haven't had coffee. And
oh, that's not like you.
I didn't have time. Well, you know, I'm back up at my parents' house. And I don't.
You had chicken salad for your coffee?
chicken salad. I had a bagel. I just didn't have time to like get in the car and go to Dunkin' because that's the closest coffee to me. And it's just the way it is this morning. But I think it's actually going to be good. I think I need this energy to go into this Southern Hospitality, the finale, the last episode of the reunion, which is what we're talking about.
I know. I just wanted to say it's our second week in New York. It's the end of our second week. And I have had so much fun here. I haven't been here this long since I actually lived here. And it has been so great being in the city. But I'm definitely hitting that point where I'm like, oh, my God, why'd you bump me in the street? Like,
I have been.
I mean, with your bag, you know, like I'm hitting that point.
I'm fully shoving people. When I was there, I was there full time last week, and I've been down there like on and off this week. I am fully shoving people. If someone is standing, if someone stops moving at the bottom of a staircase at the subway, I am pushing through them, and they get shoved. If someone walks onto the subway, and as soon as they get on the car, they just stop moving right there in the door. I just shove them and I see them, their heads turn like, what the hell? But I'm like, I'm sorry. I'm a gay podcaster. It's Pride Month. Get out of the way.
That's Pride Month. It's also Straight Men's Mental Health Awareness Month. So, congrats to all those guys. My roommate, Brandy, who you know, my roommate from here, for years we were roommates, and we would be walking on the street and people would do that, like stop right in front of her, and she'd just go, move.
Yeah.
And her voice is in my head all the time. I haven't gotten to that point yet. You know, I'm still walking around like, hi, thank you. Nice to see you. How are you today? Lovely weather. You know, I'm still walking around like a total hick. But I'm getting to the point where I'm like, oh my God, another stairway? Like, is it a joke?
Is it a joke? I do love a terse and cold, excuse me, you know, because technically I'm being polite. I don't know why. I feel like I should be in a great mood. We're at the end of the week. We've had a great
mood. Yeah, I'm in a really good mood.
I guess I'll be in a good mood in a few months. I guess I'm not in a bad mood. I think I'm very like dry right now. And I think that we have had a very grueling 2 weeks. But like it really has not stopped. And I think it's like knowing that the end is just on the other side of these two recaps today. But in order to get to the glory land, we have to like discuss Emmy's microaggressions. And then after that, we have to like go to the valley. It's a hard like final boss.
It is. It's a rough end of the week on Bravo. They're really
it's like
the audience, I think, in general.
It's like, I feel like we crested yesterday. We had Summer House. The Knicks won. It's like, what else do we need to do? Mariska Hargitay was dancing on the court. You know, like, let's live in that energy. But it's like, wait, hold on, everyone. Let's hear what Lake has to say about a guy that Mia may have slept with at some point, somewhere or another. And I'm just like, you have to sort of like summon a deeper energy. But thankfully, you're here. And whenever I'm in this mode, by the end of the hour, you always get me where I need to be. So, Ronnie. Well, thank you for being my Sherpa.
Well, yeah, the spiritual journey. Your life together with someone you can laugh with. You know, I mean, I was writing the newsletter, which is just basically a big long recap, like a TV recap of all the shows we recap. I'm really enjoying like making jokes in print. You know, it's been so long since I've been a blogger, so I'm loving it. But it's like fun and game all the way until the end, because it ends with the valley. And
I'm just, yeah,
fuck these people, you know? So it ends like pretty fun. You know, I mean, it starts out pretty fun and then it just gets to the valley and I'm like, fuck all these people. Fuck all of you people. I can't take anymore. I'm looking at them like another staircase. I'm like, again, I have to go up this staircase again.
Seriously. But I don't want to diverge too much because an anonymous person on Twitter said that I am causing too many diversions and arguing with you too much.
Oh, this is so weird. Bravo is a diversion. We're a diversion from diversion. If you're listening to this, you watch Bravo, that's a diversion. Then you're listening to this, which is another diversion. Let me just give you a hint. You're already diverted. Okay, just enjoy being diverted. It's better than living in the real world. That's what I say.
Well, but for real today, do read Ronnie's newsletter. It's on Patreon, patreon.com/watchercrabbins.
After I'm just like, it's all negative. I just shit on the whole thing. That's okay, read it. It's going to be great. Free sign up.
That's what people tune in for, you know, that's what people like. So go check that out. Yeah, do that. And by the way, thank you to our wonderful partners at Acast for hosting us basically in their studio for the past 2 weeks. Like, they've been so wonderful and helpful. They've had a team of producers and it's been lovely. We've seen some of our podcast friends in the hallway outside. Like, we ran into Ira. He's got a new podcast coming out, Ira Madison with Feedback. We ran into Gibson Johns. We love all the people. So it's been a fun time. Shout out to Mariska Hargitay also. She just
seriously. Yeah,
actually
my hotel is right next to that theater. So I pass Mariska Hargitay every day. Her face.
Yeah. Oh, I do have a correction on it. Believe it or not,
it's Mariska Hargitay feeling joy.
I do have a Mariska Hargitay update, by the way. And a correction. Last week I guess we're talking a lot about Mariska Hargitay lately, as we should, as is our right.
Yeah.
But I did say that the nursery in West Hollywood was her dad's. Her dad has apparently passed away. This is owned by her brother. So for all the Hargitay heads out there, and I'm looking at you, Neil, my friend Neil.
Her dad's like a famous actor, right?
Or writer. Yeah, I think director. So.
Right. And then her mom is... Who's from? Oh, you know what? We're just going to get in trouble because I already.
That person on Twitter. That person on Twitter is going to get mad.
Who is her mother? Someone very famous. So anyway,
Joanne Hargitay. You're doing
a great job with the less diversion thing. Good job so far.
By the way, if someone gets mad about a Mariska Hargitay diversion, you don't know what life is. Okay. I'm sorry. I'm telling you that right now.
Okay. Southern Hospitality Season 4, Episode 15, Reunion Part 2. Wow. Yeah. So they're still going. You know, this may be I've always fought for like a 12 episode season on Bravo for most shows. I really believe in that. I'm going to start fighting for a 6 episode season because I feel like Southern Hospitality is still good. I really like Southern Hospitality. They had a really strong first 3 episodes, a really strong final episode, and a good, pretty good reunion episode. So what's that, 5? That's pretty good.
Yeah, I think this was like a solid season. I agree. It sort of like opened with a bang. It was a good season. It kind of there was no episode that I thought was really a bad episode, but it did feel like it maybe went on 1 or 2 episodes too long. And I was a little sad because I was so excited that the kids finally got their first proper reunion. And with that being said, this reunion episode did not do a lot for me. I'm not gonna lie. I was
really?
Like, we really could have just done a 1-episode reunion for Southern Hospitality.
I think one part would have done it because I enjoyed the reunion for the most part. But yeah, 1 episode.
I think it could have been supersized and it could have ended with this Emmy segment. And then everything after it just felt uninteresting and unnecessary. Like, we were drilling down about Justin and Charlie don't care. We were drilling down about Mia and Lake. Like, it was all like, why are we watching this fighting about stuff that wasn't in the show? Like, it's just, and it's like, it was like a lot of it, and it just kept on going and going. So
also, I'm not really into Justin at all, but Justin acting like he's the star of the show. I mean, he's sitting there like his legs are crossed and he's very, basically how I'm sitting right now. Yeah. But he's just very much like, oh, yes, well, oh. He's answering everything like he's had a role in this show other than talking about banging girls and disrespect, you know, just being like a complete douchebag. The show is not built around you, sir. You need to calm down. Nobody cares about you just because you're dating Chuck.
No. From- I actually thought he did a good job, believe it or not. Yeah, I thought he was... I think actually he did sort of fake it till he made it. He did sort of act like, what? Huh? What? I was like, what's going on? I'm in love. I don't know why you guys are questioning it. I was like, yeah, why are you guys questioning Justin?
Really?
I was, yeah, I fell for it. Yeah.
100%. Yeah. I was filled with, you know,
yeah.
Crucify him. Crucify him. Just kidding. I just, Christ Superstar. I've seen a lot of musicals, guys. It's been a very musical week over here.
It's time for a commercial. It's time for a Crappens commercial.
Well, let's open. Let's dig into the part that we're most excited about, which is Emmy's apology. She gives a very, you know, I'm not a racist. No, we're not. She does the whole thing. She says, "I can't believe I'm so naive. I am an emotional terrorist. I don't listen to the other side. I just only think about me."
When she says, yeah, you know, when I fight with Will, like Will sometimes says, like, I'm an emotional terrorist. Well, that's pretty funny.
I will say,
I'm accurate.
I feel like Emmy did a better job with her bad apology than Amanda did with hers. Like, at least Emmy tried to emotionally convey regret. Whether or not anyone believes it is a whole other issue, but it felt like she at least put the effort into piecing together, like, the sort of apology that she was supposed to piece together. She put the effort into trying to, like, cry or whatever. I'm not saying, like, oh, she's forgiven. I'm just saying, compared to Amanda and West, how they just sat there, like, they couldn't even do what they couldn't even do the bare minimum that Emmy did. I was like, just made me think of them as even worse. I was like, look at Emmy. She's up here. She's able to, like, hit all, like, the apology tour playbook, right? And those two jokers over there are like, we gotta just have more conversations. Like, what? Did you have that weird reaction that I did?
Well, no, I mean, I think Emmy just came with a completely written by PR announcement.
100%.
She's been dragged the whole season. But the fact that she couldn't even see this a little bit during the season, I have no pity for her. And then, of course, the tears, she pulls out the white lady, you know, blonde. Like, I think she did every typical thing. The only thing I was surprised at was that she did not call the police on Brad during the reunion.
I know.
While we were watching. So Emmy, I think, was... not a surprise. And she did the typical thing where she doesn't get her way. She gives this big long monologue and Brad's like, bullshit, you're only doing this because you got in trouble online. And then the tears automatically dry up and go away. So, you know, it's typical.
But I'm not saying I give her pity. I'm not saying I'm giving her pity. I'm saying, like, at least she went to the effort to try to do the PR, to fake it. She went to the effort to be like, what am I? Oh, I did something terrible to a friend. I know that much. What am I supposed to do? What are the steps I'm supposed to do? And Amanda and West just didn't even do that. And that's what I'm saying. So I'm not letting Emmy off the hook. I'm just reminding people that West and Amanda I'm just further highlighting their failures.
I mean, honestly, I'm like so over West and Amanda right now. I'm just arguing with you because bringing them into this discussion, I'm like, do we need more? I feel like even getting a slice of pizza here, I'm like, this pizza's too hot. Oh yeah, well, you know who wasn't hot enough? West and Amanda. And then you have to talk about it with the fucking pizza seller guy.
Listen, you had 2 extra hours talking about it on a podcast that I didn't have. So I'm playing catch up.
You still have more.
Yeah, you're more exhausted than I am.
Well, that's understandable. I mean, Wes and Amanda really did look at me. I'm like, I'm sick of talking about them. Look, I'll talk about them more. Wes and Amanda, I think we're doing in the reunion what Emmy did all season, which was but. Mm-hmm. Like, how did you say this? Because I was justified. Because why am I not allowed to have feelings? But yeah, they should have been better by the reunion. Emmy did come in, you know, with her pre-written thing. And I guess you're right. At least she made an effort to have something written for her, you know?
Yeah, and when I say at least an effort, that's not saying, guys, we should reconsider. It was purely mentioning that in the context of Amanda and Wes. I think Emmy is you know, she's just going to have to show through her actions that, like, she actually believes what this monologue, you know? Like, you know, I appreciated that she finally articulated the things she was supposed to articulate, but I do think it's too late. And I think, like, her behavior this season was really abhorrent, and it was, like, really disappointing to me as someone who actually had traditionally really enjoyed her. But we'll see what happens. But the best part is that she gives this whole, the monologue is long. It goes, it's emotional. She's got her eyes bigger than ever. You know, and you're looking at you're looking at Brad, and you're like, Brad, what's your reaction to that? And so you think Brad's going to be like, well, I appreciate that. You know, I got to think about it. He's like, yeah, no.
He's like, this is bullshit. And he's like, look, even if you didn't understand what a microaggression was, because that's her thing. Like, I didn't even know what that was. You know, I don't have a microscope. How am I supposed to see it?
The country hasn't been talking about it for the past 6 years.
Right. So she's saying she just didn't know what it was. And once she found out, I guess, after the season, even though everybody explained this to her 9 million times on camera, that she still didn't know what it was until someone explained it to her, I guess, after the season. And he's like, yeah, but even if you didn't know what it was, if my friend is saying my feelings are really hurt by something you did, you just apologize. Like, I was trying to make it okay. We had the discussion. I forgave you. We were going to move on. And then you went behind my back and had filmed scenes with Lucia and the baker down the street and the candlestick maker and everybody that you could to add to the lie and say all this additional stuff. Like, what the fuck, Emmy? And she's like, well, you know, you had your chance to speak at Volley Beach. And like, I could think about was my friends were recording me outside my room. So she's still doing a but, you know?
Yeah, she is. And so Brad's like, you know, well, you know, you just couldn't hear shit. And we see unaired footage of Maddie and Brad talking because it's about, Brad was saying that he did attempt to record Emmy in her hotel room, and we see that he plays it for Maddie, and this unaired footage of, like, here's the recording, and Maddie's like, I can't hear anything. Like, okay, thank you for showing us that. So, but he's like, you didn't think about why I had to record it? Like, do you understand why it's important for me to record it? Because, like, people wouldn't believe me otherwise, you know, as evidenced by this whole season.
No, Brad, you know, and then here's the thing. No, Brad, I don't see why you had to record it. And this is where Emmy really lost, because Emmy had kind of an actual point. Like, I'm in my room. I should have some privacy. And then I find out you guys are standing out there recording me. She has something to say against that. What she did was said, I feel unsafe. And there's this man, you know, went to production, and that's where the microaggression came in. It doesn't make Brad right, you know? And that's, I think, something that we as an audience kind of lose nuance. It's like, it doesn't make Brad automatically right in what he did. Brad has still done some terrible things on this show, okay? We've all watched the show. We see how Brad moves. Brad is not some innocent little flower. But in the microaggression thing, Emmy is just so fucking wrong that she obliterates her whole point. So, like, she can't come in here. If she had a point before this, she could have been like, that was totally uncool, you guys recording me and doing all of this stuff. She would have been in the right had she started the season like that. But she didn't. She started it by going, oh, my God, this guy's going to attack me, and I'm naked on the floor, and I'm terrified of this black man outside my room, and tried to do all that. So she obliterated her own point. So she's trying to make it again here. You know, she's, like, doing this whole tearful thing and then still trying to make her point, which I think she did have a point. But it's obliterated, Emmy. Stop trying to make your point. You killed your own point by being the biggest dick in the room.
I disagree. I think Brad knew he had to record her because she is a white lady who, as we see in the season, is ready to, like, blow this up bigger and bigger and bigger, like, well, locking herself.
Recording the microaggression thing. He was recording her shit talking the reunion because they had just come off the reunion stage, and she was like, oh, these guys are assholes and blah, 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 and they're lying about this or whatever. This wasn't about the microaggressions yet. The microaggressions happened after the recording.
Yeah, I still think it's okay. I think with this messy-ass cast, they're all recording each other, doing such shady things, and she's talking shit, and I think, like, she's talking so much shit about him in the room, and he knows. I think it's fine for him to record. If she's being loud enough that she can be heard in the hallway, then guess what? Like, you're being too loud in a hotel and you could get recorded by people because, like, you're now, your voice is in the public space. Well, I think it's totally fine to have recorded her. And I think it was a smart thing to do. And I think, like, you can't trust someone like Emmy, you know, cause one moment, yeah, you know, true. You can't, one moment she's saying, like, oh, guys, piece of shit, whatever. Then all of a sudden, it's like, I feel unsafe. Then I was cowering in the bathroom door. And, you know, it's just, it goes and goes and goes.
Right.
And, you know,
I guess he did the right thing. You also can't trust Brad. I mean, Brad had just lied about Maddie's boyfriend cheating. I mean, that was the whole last reunion. He led this whole thing about, oh, well, let's make up a thing about Trevor to get revenge on Maddie, which broke.
Yeah, which I think is really shitty. I think that got Maddie really lost into in
a crazy thing. Maddie, who's, you know, storyline is like struggling with sobriety and this and that. We'd already seen her losing her shit multiple times over this thing that he did. So what Brad did was pretty shitty, too. And I guess I'm just saying, like, let's not forget that Brad is also a shithead because Brad's getting away with a lot because Emmy was so, what Emmy did was so beyond the pale to Brad that she's rightfully getting all the shit. But Brad acting like, oh, you know, I'm so, you know, Brad's not innocent of everything else. And I think that we need to have some nuance and not just forget that, you know.
I think we're Emmy
terrible.
I think where Emmy could have had a point this season, and she was just too thick-headed to actually articulate it properly, and so it just came off as a microaggression yet again, was when she said to someone, like, yeah, it was important for me to make up with Brad because, you know, I don't know how he's going to retaliate. You know, she should have made up with Brad because she did a microaggression, regardless of whether he is retaliatory or not. You should have done it because it's the right thing to do. But also, I do understand I understand why she would say that too, because Brad made up a true lie about Trevor to break up Maddie and Trevor, which was really shitty. It was really, really, really shitty. And she should have said, and we've seen that Brad can do something really messy, and I don't want to be in the end of that. So, like, it was important for me to make sure this was all settled. That's how she should have said it. But she came off being like, you can't be careful of Brad. He's dangerous. It's like, oh my God, you're like, you're really fucking it up again.
Yeah.
I think that's really where she could have had like, I think that's where she could have had a point, but you know, Emmy, when she could have a point, is really good at not doing the right
thing. Yeah, she obliterated her own point. She's an idiot. And I don't think there's any path back for her on this show. I don't think that she can come back to the show. But that leaves, you know, it leaves a question maybe for the end of the episode. But who's coming back to this? Because Maddie's barely there. Maddie's touring all over. She doesn't want to be there. She just showed up for filming. God knows what Joe's up to. Grace Lilly is obviously having her own troubles. Levis said in an Instagram post that Emmy and Brad are both off the schedule because Brad had his own controversy that went crazy off camera when he was filming someone in his gym. He was filming a lady in his gym and saying, this is the way not to do it. And then another fitness influencer was like, is this how we treat women? And then that became a whole big thing. And that was right before the season started airing. So there's so much going on with all, and maybe that was far enough back and not on camera that it is not going to affect Brad. But according to Leva, he hasn't been on the schedule. So, and I think I saw that maybe a month ago, that Instagram comment. So who's going to be back? Like, who's going to be on this show?
It's a question that keeps me up late at night, I have to say. Who will come back to Southern Hospitality? I think that they'll all be back. They'll all be back.
Yeah, probably.
Let's be honest, what else are they gonna do? Go to like a Bass sporting shop, pro sporting shop?
Yeah.
So anyway, TJ is Brad is basically saying, like, yeah, no, you messed up. You messed up, Emmy, you messed up. And it's a really hard lesson for you to learn, but you messed up. Okay, Emmy, you said in a disto that you were never scared for your physical safety, so why did you go back and tell people otherwise? And she's like, I think that when I had the conversation with some other people, they, like, not everyone that I, like, talked to had the same perspective as the people in this room, and, like, it was kind of, like, opposing opinions that, like, a man is stronger than a woman, and, like, XYZ, and, like, knowing who Brad is, I know that, like, my physical safety, like, was never a problem, but, like, I think that, like, for me, like, I don't know, like, physical safety, I don't know, it was, like, emotional safety, and, like, how can I pivot this? It was, like, I was concerned about my nails, my hair was charcuterie was unsafe, and so that was, like, charcuterie is, like, part of my body, and I don't know, like, it's, like, really scary.
She's like, it wasn't physical safety. It was emotional safety. I was like worried about emotional retaliation. So that's, you know, basically like everyone else was like, wow, you should really be worried because that's a man and man's stronger than a woman. But, you know, I'm not worried about Brad's physical. It's emotional. It's emotional. So still, Emmy, yikes. So Andy's like, all right, TJ and Brad, you both said you think Emmy's fiance might be influencing her actions and opinions. Who feels that way? Mia's like, me, I feel that way too. Of course, you know, Mia. And she's like, you know, like sometimes when she speaks, I hear Will coming out. And Will, Maddie just goes,
happy Pride Month.
Will's a lot smarter.
Yeah. Emmy's like, what? Huh?
Wait, what do you mean happy Pride Month?
I feel like I hear Will coming out. I was making a pun joke. Yeah, you can keep them straights. So Mia's like, so Maddie's like, well, Will's a lot smarter. I mean, he's like, Will is not on this show. You cannot. And Mia's like, well, I know he's not here, but like, Will's not here. So like, we know he's not here. We can invoke his name.
What does Emmy have this rule? It's so funny that Emmy acts like this is just a rule that everybody has. Like, Ian's not here and we cannot discuss Will. How can you discuss Will when Will is not here?
Do not talk about Will. So Emmy's like, it's just for me, it's like frustrating because like it validates that like I don't have a brain of my own and I don't think for myself. I'm like, don't worry, that doesn't validate it. It's your behavior that does.
And he's like, yeah, but Maddie just called you stupid, though. Like, hello. I think we already all think that.
Commercials. Here comes one right now.
And he's like, well, like, I mean, you know, I'm saying that's how I feel. And like, it feels as though like he's pulling some strings on a puppet. And I'm like, oh, what am I, a puppet? You know, and like, I understand the perspective that people have. But obviously, he's like the closest person to me aside from my family. And Brad's like, yeah, but you talk to him and he definitely gives you advice. And TJ's like, I've seen him firsthand manipulate you. And they're like, and Joe, I think, has some sense where he's like, duh, you talked to your, I talked to my fiance. That's like what a couple does. Of course, they're going to talk to each other and influence each other. I don't think that's a huge one. And also, they accused Will of cheating last year. So Emmy's point was like, you guys are lying about Will, just like you're lying about Trevor, was the point that she was trying to make last reunion.
Yeah. So then Maddie is like, so do you talk to him about the show or no? And she goes, I mean, yeah. I mean, but like, I don't like, I mean, like, but Will's like not involved in this. Like, I'm trying not to get involved in this. Okay. He has very important law cases about people who drove too fast. Down King Street, okay? So Andy is like, all right, well, again, this is a huge thing, you know? So I can't imagine you didn't discuss it with him for hours upon hours. No, I mean, I did. And Will's advice for me was go and reach out to Lucia because she's not white and, like, she might, if you give her a different story, she might be empathetic to you. So that's
exactly
what I did.
Exactly. Will's advice was go to a person of color and get that on camera. Go to a person of color to vindicate you.
To say that you're not racist.
Yeah, just say,
some of my best friends are black.
Exactly. Yeah, just give me the some of my best friends are black argument.
Yeah, so TJ is like, you told the story different to Lucia than you told anyone else because you knew it was wrong. She's like, well, I mean, but that's who I sought out. It's like, but with a different story about what you said about Brad to everyone else. And Brad's like, yeah, you told her? I told you to sleep with one eye open.
Emmy, my God. Yeah, I mean, the point is that you went to somebody else and then you lied and made it sound like he was about to bust down your door to murder you while you were naked.
Yeah.
So we see a flashback, and the flashback does kind of make me laugh because they're doing yoga and Lucia's like sitting in the crisscross applesauce yoga position, you know, being all peaceful. But her face is like, what the fuck, Emmy? She's like kind of confused, which I imagine anybody who's having a one-on-one conversation with Emmy, they have that face.
Yeah. Yeah. At all times. So then Brad's like, that's not a microaggression. That's a fucking lie. You lie over and over and over again. You lied. I can't even stress how hurt and destroyed I am. Okay, Michaels. Emmy made it very clear that she expected you to take her side. What was your reaction to seeing Emmy tell Maddie that that you should agree with her? If you liked it, wave your neck scarf. If you don't, twirl it. Thank you.
And then comes one of my favorite clips of this season when Emmy's like, I mean, if we're friends and I tell you 2 + 2 = 5, then it's 5. Maddie goes, wait, but it's four. It's like, God damn it.
It's a theoretical. So Michael's like, so I think like my biggest thing is that I didn't agree with her at all. And everybody knows what it's like to film a show and like emotions be heightened and like the whole nine. But like, however, like how she was like feeling is not an excuse for her verbiage and expressing that like she should have known better. Like maybe if she was on the cover of So.gay, she would have had a better perspective like I do. But like, unfortunately, she doesn't. So yeah, it's like that's why I had to take a beat in the summer.
Yeah, and then Andy asks Lake, you know, how she feels about the blowback that she was standing up for Emmy all season. And she's like, but ultimately, I had one-on-one conversations with Emmy, and I, like, told her that I did not condone it.
Yeah, and it's like, well, did you feel like she got it? And she's like, yeah, there are times she did. Like, how long did it take for her to get it? I mean, there's like times when like I was a bit frustrated, you know, and I was like, Emmy, I told you not to cry. I said, do not cry, like get your shit together. I do not condone that. But, you know, people make mistakes and that's how people get educated. People get educated by learning.
And Emmy's like, yeah. And also Lake and Brad, Brad asked Michaels to leave it alone and he was going to speak to me. So they were at first like, just let Brad talk to you. You know, no one talked to Emmy except Brad. So Emmy's trying to stand up for Lake, you know, in return. And Andy says, you know, the internet went wild when your mom called you out for talking to white people about black people's business.
Lake, I have a question about your mom. How big are her boobs? Has she gotten them? Has she gotten implants? Did she want to get implants? Would you like to be on the show to show that?
Yeah, and Lake's mom basically told her, listen, fix it. Don't be a sellout. Fix it. And Andy asks if the mom, what the mom's opinion of Emmy is. And Lake says that her mom has had conversations with Emmy about this. And now they're okay. And she likes them and Will, and she thinks they're going to last.
Hmm. Yeah. Well,
I feel like the mom just threw something at the TV at home. She's like, damn it, Lake.
Mom's like, I did not say that. The mom was like, who is this bitch?
And the mom apparently said, oh, yeah, he didn't cheat. That must be a lie. Okay. Okay.
The mom was not paying attention. Mom was watching Jeopardy. Like, mom, do you think Will cheated? No. Like, whatever. Hold on. I'm focusing on the game show, honey.
Yeah.
So then Leva's like, did you talk about like what Emmy said? And she's like, oh, the microaggression. Yeah. My mom talked about it. And like, my mom was like, you need to like get it right and like make it right and apologize and get accountability. And you also need to do your part. And I've tried to do my part in this. I would never condone a microaggression. And basically Lake apologized to Brad for, you know, for the toll that this is all taken on him and like what black men have had to go through because of things like this.
Yeah, so Brad, the viewers are so impressed with your grace and patience in all of this. And he says that most of his response has been positive. It's been like 80%, 85% positive. But then, you know, the other half of America has to say something as well. Mm-hmm. I was like trying to do the math, but I know what he means.
I love those idiots who would like push back on Brad. I love the people who would push back on Brad in a racist way while trying to defend someone for not being racist, right? Isn't that basically what they would be doing? Like, yeah. If someone's pushing back, they'll be like, how dare you accuse Emmy of being racist? And then they respond with their own racist bullshit. It's like, well, what's wrong with you?
Pretty much par for the course, eh?
Yeah, idiots. So, yeah.
There's no nuance in what is right and wrong here. Like, there's nothing questionable about
what 100%.
It's not like, wow, was Emmy right or wrong? Like, I can't imagine that argument.
No, it was, I'm sad for the people who are making that argument.
Yeah.
So then Brad, Michael's also got that too. And Emmy's like crying. She's like, I am sorry. I am sorry that you're so dangerous. I am sorry. So Andy's like, okay, well, I mean, you should probably just stop talking. Do you understand that he will probably need time to process? And she's like, of course. I hope that one day you can see that I was naive and that I have learned from this and I will never make this mistake again because I never want to put someone in that position that I put you in. That's all that my script says. Like, okay, great.
You will probably not make this mistake again because you will probably not be on TV again, you dummy.
Yeah.
So now they take a break and come back. And Andy's like, well, when the crew wasn't clocked in at Republic, they were working on their love lives. We had an engagement, multiple relationships, and an alleged three-way. That's hot. Plus, enough body shots to put the lick in Republic.
Francis from McDormand says, Emmy has the best fashion sense. Whoa. I can't wait to see what she wears down the aisle. Do you have a dress picture? Did someone really write that? Did someone say Emmy has the best fashion sense? She's only worn corsets all year.
Francis from McDormand, who is currently wearing a potato sack with a chicken bone in her hair as a beret, says Emmy has the greatest fashion sense.
Francis from McDormand asks Sally, who is also working in the Amazon fulfillment plant, hey, Sally, how's your daughter? Sorry, just watched Nomadland last night.
Want to talk about some depressed people. So Emmy's like, I grew up in London for like 4 years, and his family, like his mom specifically, is English. So it really holds a spot for the, oh, they're talking about the wedding. I don't know. Why are they talking about the wedding? Oh, because she was talking about
Frances McDormand.
And of course, she's already bought her dress and all of that. And they're going to get married in the Cotswolds.
Yeah.
Which is very fancy.
Nice. That's very, very
right. Get her lawyer wedding in the Cotswolds. Mm-hmm. She'd her be damned.
Yeah. It's very lovely. So a lot of viewers notice that you never call him Will. You always say my fiance, and we see her be like my fiance. So do you like that? She's like, well, I think I was just trying to give more of like respect, since like he wanted more privacy from being on the show this season. He wants more privacy. We know who he is. It's not like if you start calling him my fiance that we're gonna be like, who is she talking about now?
Yeah, but Emmy's one of those people that all she want, like all she measures success in is this, marrying mm-hmm. a lawyer. You know, she's always been like this, like I'm a lawyer's wife. You know, she said it multiple times, like I just want to be a lawyer's wife. She doesn't care what this man does, and so that's why she says my fiance. Like, she got a fiance and she's holding it above everybody's head, you know, like as a human resources manager. I can say, like, okay, we're ordering lunch. You know,
yeah.
You don't have to tell the waiter that. As a human resources manager, I would love a Diet Coke.
As a purser. So Andy's like,
as a purser.
Brad, you and Julia are coming up on 2 years. Congratulations. Any plans for the next 3 years? She's like, no plans for the next 3 years. Just taking it year by year. Okay, so Lake, what went down with you and the milkman after the law prom?
And so Emmy's joking, like, oh, someone's dress came off. And Brad's like, wow, what a pivot. Okay, so now we're going out of this. And Lake's like, I did not have a threesome with Oisin. And Joe's like, look, I will say that I was like a little messy when I brought that up. But, you know, I was hearing whispers. So,
yeah, it was like a lot of whispers. And the whispers all said, God, I love a rooftop. Wow, it's crazy. The buzz is out. Yeah.
You were the one spreading the whispers because you heard it from Oisin. Why are you acting like you just heard whispers?
I know, Joe. It's a lot of whispers. But I'm sorry, like, me and Luke have, me and Lake have duked it out since then. So, you know, it's like I've seen Oisin get with, like, many, many women, you know, and, like, he's never said, like, hey, let me bring them to emo night. You know what I'm saying? It's, like, kind of rude sometimes.
So Maddie's like, and then you ghosted him and broke his heart. Poor Oisin.
So Andy's like, yeah, I'm into the year out of his league. Okay, so Justin, you start dating Republic bartender Jordan with a Y. Then you goes up to Mia with an I. And then by the end of the season, you were talking about Marilyn Charlie with an EY. I don't know why I'm starting to do that, but I can't stop. Okay, so, wow, are things between you and Charlie going strong, right? They're going strong. Tell us all about it. America can't wait to hear about Charlie.
He's like, yeah, she's the love of my life. And, like, she's the most gorgeous girl I've ever seen, Andy. And it's a joy just to call her mine.
Okay. Well, was there any overlap between when Charlie was talking to Craig and you hanging out with her? He's like, no, not at all. I mean, I don't know. It was tough watching that back, knowing that Charlie was, like, innocent.
And Love was like, yeah, like a Charm had finished out filming. And that's what we call it.
Charm.
Charm.
Yeah.
Like if you're really on the in, you just call it Chat. So yeah, yeah, like Cha had finished filming and Sally and Charlie came into Republic and they were both like, oh my God, who the hell is that guy? And so I was like, oh my God, go say hi. Chuck is Indio. That's what we call her in the industry. So it's like, it was a pretty big deal.
Yeah. And so like I went and told Justin, go say hi. And like girls are like thinking like you're cute. And so lo and behold, 48 hours later, I'm like, oh yeah, he's like going on a date with Charlie. Right. And I was like, damn, that man moves fast. And he's like, well, there were people online who thought you were saying you were 30% gay to profit for your OnlyFans. Have you considered going up to maybe a 50, 70 or 100%? He's like, yeah.
Gays have a lot of money. You really should have given that a good 80%er. Okay. Judging.
He's like, yeah, gay for pay. I mean, gay for pay, quick career baiting, all that stuff. Yeah, I know I'm comfortable with my sexuality, okay? The bottom line is this. To get serious about the matter is that I objectively, you know, I like what I like. And, you know, have I exclusively been with women? Absolutely. But if there was a guy, a sweeping fellow, that came and took me off my feet and it was perfect in every way, then I would not have any hesitation moving forward with it. You know, it's sexuality. It's fluid. You know what? Andy, what are you doing down on one knee in front of me?
Yeah, so you've only been with women, but you're saying you're bi for your Instagram. Come on, that's what you're doing, you fucking little brat. And everybody knows it. And I think he's totally doing that. And I love that Michaels basically just scoffs. He's like laughing. He's like, Michaels, please, this guy is totally doing this for his OnlyFans. Give me a fucking break.
And then I thought it was a good little... I thought it was a good little spiel. I thought he was basically like, yeah, I'm pretty much straight, but like I'm not ruling out that like if I saw a guy that was like, hey, like I would give it a try, you know?
I don't believe him.
No.
I believe that he is doing this for his OnlyFans. And I think we both thought that when he said it on camera. He's like, yeah, I'm like 30% gay. It's like, of course, you have an OnlyFans and you're on national TV trying to sell it. So, of course, I'm not saying whether he would or whether he's not. But then coming on and being like, have I only exclusively been with women? Yes. Okay, then shut up and stop trying to sell yourself as like a fantasy to people on your OnlyFans. It's annoying. Yeah. I don't believe him for 2 seconds. And then he's like, yeah, now I like get it because it's like so hard for gay people, what gay people go through. And now that I said that, like actually having to like suffer that blowback, I'm like, oh, so now you're a part of the community. Well, happy fucking Pride Month to you. Can we have a parade for Justin? Can we have a parade for fuckboys profiting off of like gay culture on their OnlyFans? Thanks.
Yeah.
Hey everyone, this is the end of part one of this recap. For part two, keep an eye on your podcast feed. It is coming up in just a moment. Thanks so much for listening. Catch you on the second half.
Watch What Crappens would like to thank its premium sponsors.
She answered the call. It's Adia Paul.
Ain't no thing like Allison King.
Our way is the Amber way.
It's the Foster and the Furious. It's Amanda Foster.
It's Always Automatic with Ashley Otto.
Put your hands together for Carly Clapp.
Get on the right foot with Chrissy Offutt.
She's not just a Sheila, she's a Daniela. Etchels.
We never miss her call. It's Diane Call.
Sunday in the Park with Dylan Clark.
Big yay, it's Emily Gauthier.
Aaron McNicholas, she don't miss no trickolas.
Hava Nagila Weber.
You'll never hide from Heidi Eleanor Jones.
It's no BS. We love Hugo E.S.
Jamie, she has no last namey.
Sipped some scotch with Jessica Trotch.
She's our favorite streamer, Caroline Peacock.
Kristen the Piston Anderson.
Que sera, sera, whatever will Lauren Silsby.
She gets an A from us, it's Lindsay D.
Let's give a kisserino to Lisa Lino.
Fresh as a daisy, it's Maisie McHenry.
Come again? We're obsessed with Margaret O'Halloran.
Megan Berg. You can't have a burger without the Berg.
Gather round for the lore of Michelle Moore.
This is Living with Michelle Vivian.
I love a ya, Olivia Williamson.
She sure is swell. It's Raquel.
Yes, we canna. It's Savannah.
Cast a spell with Shannon Spellman.
Let's share with Sharon Eldridge.
Darn Skippy. It's Tippy.
And our super premium sponsors.
She's VVIP. It's Amanda V.
Somebody get us 10 cc's of Betsy MD.
We're taking the gold with Brenda Silva.
Let's get real with Caitlin O'Neill.
Put us on a stretcher. It's Charlotte Fletcher. Hogle your horses. It's Christine Hogle.
Don't get salty with Christine Pepper.
K
can't have a meal without the Emily Sides.
Who, what, why, where, and Gwen Pentland.
Nobody holds a candle to Jamie Kendall.
We got our wish, it's Jen Plish.
Have a kebab with K. Rob.
My favorite Murdo, Karen McMurdo.
Let's get savage with Laura Wildman.
In the study with a candlestick, it's Leslie Peacock.
We're ride or die for Lisa Ryder Barron.
She's a whiz, it's Liz Sarthy.
Always killing it, it's Lola Alkalani.
Roger that, it's Marlis Rogers.
The incredible edible Matthews sisters.
She eases our woes, it's Melissa St. Rose.
She's the lady of the house, it's Rachel Sarouse.
There's a chance of meatballs, it's Rebecca Cloud.
She's our princess, it's Rebecca Prince.
She's the queen bee, it's Sarah Lemke.
We cannot tell a lie, it's Sarah Telefson.
Shannon, out of a cannon, Anthony.
Please don't stop, it's Soli and Pop.
Let's take off with Tamla Plain.
Strike a pose, it's Tori Rose.
She ain't no shrinking Violet Kuchar. We love you guys.